But from the book of 1 Chronicles chapter 22, we're going to look to the word of the Lord this morning. Verse 1, then David said, this is the house of the Lord God, and this is the altar of the burnt offering for Israel. And David commanded to gather together the strangers that were in the land of Israel. And he set masons to hew wrought stones to build the house of God. And David prepared iron in abundance for the nails, for the doors of the gates, for the joinings, and brass in abundance without weight. Also cedar trees in abundance for the Zidonians, and they of Tyre. They brought much cedar wood to David. And David said, Solomon, my son, is young and tender, and the house that is to be builded for the Lord must be exceeding magnificent, of fame and of glory throughout all countries. I will therefore now make preparation for it. So David prepared abundantly before his death. Verse 11, now my son, the Lord be with thee. This is David charging Solomon. And prosper thou and build the house of the Lord thy God, as he hath said of thee. Only the Lord give thee wisdom. Only the Lord give thee wisdom and understanding, and give thee charge concerning Israel, that thou mayest keep the law of the Lord thy God. Then shalt thou prosper if thou takest heed to fulfill the statutes and judgments which the Lord charged Moses with concerning Israel. Be strong, be of good courage, dread not. Ooh, hallelujah, I felt that. I believe God's going to deliver some people from dread today. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Dread not, nor be dismayed. Now, behold, in my trouble, I have prepared for the house of the Lord 100,000 talents of gold, 1,000 talents of silver, of brass and iron without weight, for it is in abundance. Timber also and stone have I prepared, and thou mayest add thereto. Moreover, there are workmen with thee in abundance, hewers and workers of stone and timber and all manner of cunning men for every manner of work. Of the gold, the silver, the brass, the iron, there is no number. Arise, therefore, and be doing. As an Old Testament way of saying, occupy. Arise, therefore, and be doing, and the Lord be with thee. Oh, hallelujah. I'd like to speak to you for a few moments this morning on this subject, turning trouble into treasure. Turning trouble into treasure. David said, in my trouble, I have prepared 100,000 and thousands of thousands, and without weight, all of this treasure. But we're going to preach turning trouble into treasure. Praise God. Could we lift up our voices together and just lift up a praise unto God and ask His blessing upon the preaching of the word today as we endeavor to see what the Lord will do and say. God, we thank you for your goodness to us, and we thank you for your very presence in this house. We ask in Jesus' name that you will move upon us as we declare your word, and as we hear your word, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would cause us to sit together in those precious and beautiful heavenly places in Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that every word will be uttered by your Spirit, that there be an unction of the Holy One in this house. And Lord, we surrender to you, and we ask all of it in the mighty and matchless name of Jesus Christ. And the church said, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. And amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the name of the Lord. Let me take you to a scene in the scriptures, perhaps a scene that you might or may not be familiar with, but it's actually a frightening scene in the Word of God, and it happened in Babylon. The children of Israel were Hebrew captives. They had been taken captive by a man by the name of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was a conquering king, and he conquered basically the then known world and basically pulled everything into his empire. It was his son Belshazzar where this scene unfolds in the scriptures. Belshazzar was a king, and he had followed in the lineage of Nebuchadnezzar, and now he is in Daniel chapter 5. He is holding a party. It is actually a party, and it's not an innocent party. It is a wicked gathering. It is filled with a great deal of immorality and in fleshly indulgence. And Belshazzar is losing himself in the drunkenness of that party experience and atmosphere. And it is filled with the various participants, and they are all being intoxicated beyond their ability to contain themselves. And so the scripture teaches that Belshazzar, he gets this strange idea. And I'm going to tell you something. When you start giving lordship of your life to your flesh, you're going to get some strange ideas. And it'll be influenced by evil spirits. And Belshazzar gets this strange idea, and it was set up. It was setting him up for his own destruction. But in his wild eyed moment of intoxication, he says, "Bring me all the vessels from the temple of the Lord of the Israeli people." And so they start bringing in vessels. Now, these were sacred vessels, and they belonged in the temple of the Lord. They were dedicated to the temple of the Lord. And yet here they come, and they're being traipsed into Belshazzar and all of his guests. And all of those that were involved in this wicked moment, they start pouring into these sacred vessels ungodly libations, and they are drinking themselves drunker still, and it has become such a scene of debauchery and total degradation of the things of God, and it's like God had just simply had enough. And God said, "That's it, I'm done." And all of a sudden, a hand, a disembodied hand appeared in the room. It would be as though if we were sitting here and a hand that wasn't connected to anything that you could see showed up on that wall and just started to like inscribe writings upon that wall. That'd be a little alarming. Gotta tell you, that'd be a little alarming. And so Belshazzar, the Bible says that Belshazzar was beside himself. And in fact, it was so frightening that his thoughts troubled him, because he sees it. His thoughts troubled him, and he immediately called for the wise men. Now, I need to point out a couple of things. When they brought those vessels in, Belshazzar praised and worshiped the gods of gold and silver and iron and brass and wood and stone. These vessels were golden and silver vessels, and they were dedicated to the temple of the Lord. But he fills them with these alcoholic libations and is worshiping false gods of gold, silver, iron, brass, wood, and stone. And he sees this hand appear on the wall, and he is so troubled, he becomes scared to death, and he calls for the wise men. Now, he said, "Who can tell me what has been written?" Because it was written in a language that nobody in the room could translate. And the language that it was written in, the words were "Meni, meni, tekel, upharsin." That's what it said. "Meni, meni, tekel, upharsin." And nobody knew what "meni, meni, tekel, upharsin" meant. And so that troubles them even more, that nobody knows what. So not only has a disembodied hand appeared in the middle of what they already knew was wrong, and now a strange statement has been written by this hand upon the wall, and they're terrified. He calls for people to read it. Nobody can read it. None of the wise men know what it has said. And somebody says, his wife says, "I think I know somebody that can tell you what that says." And they said, "I remember knowing that he had some interactions with Nebuchadnezzar, your father. When Nebuchadnezzar had awakened in the middle of the night with a dream that he could not remember, Like he needed an interpretation of the dream, but he not only didn't know the interpretation of the dream, he could not remember the dream itself. And so he began to frantically call for people. All he knew was the eerie residual feeling he had from having had whatever dream he had. And so he called the wise men, the astrologers, the Chaldeans. Now this is long before the moment I've already told you about. This is many years prior. And he had called all of the people who should know, the psychics, the fortune tellers. They all come into the room and he said, they're rubbing the sleep out of their eyes. He has awakened them out of their sleep because he was troubled in his sleep. And he said, I need you to tell me the interpretation of my dream. And they're like, all right, great. We'll do it, no problem. What was it you dreamed? He said, well, now that's actually the problem. I don't need just the interpretation. I need to know the dream itself. And they said, uh-oh. Because they had made a pretty good living on not having any real power. They had gotten quite a bit of mileage out of making stuff up. You just give me the dream and I'll give you all the metaphors and analogies and symbolism and I'll lie, but you'll be happy and that's all that's important to me. And so these astrologers and Chaldeans and magicians and soothsayers and fortune tellers, they were all exposed that day. None of them could tell him what the dream was that he dreamed. They were waiting for him to tell them. And he was so angry, he ordered their execution. Not just theirs, but everybody in the kingdom who was a wise man. And word reached a real wise man by the name of Daniel. And somebody said, the king is going to kill all the wise men. And that, unfortunately, we've got bad news. That includes you. So if you could come with us, we'd really appreciate it. And Daniel said, wait a minute. Why do I have to die? They said, well, because all the wise men are going to be killed. They can't interpret the king's dream. He said, I'll interpret the king's dream. And they said, well, but he doesn't know what the dream is. He said, I'll tell him what the dream was. You take me to the king. So he goes to the king and he stands before the king. And he said, now before I start, I want you to know it's not by my wisdom. It's not by my power. It's not because I'm anything special, but there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets. And he said, the visions in thy head upon thy bed are these. And he started in. He said, there was an image. And at the top of that image was gold. The head was gold. And the shoulders were silver. And the belly was brass. And the legs were iron. These are the same gods that Belshazzar was worshiping. The gods of gold, silver, brass, and iron. And he said, and the feet were the feet of iron and clay. And as he's talking, Nebuchadnezzar's remembering. Yeah, that's it, that's right. That's right, the feet were iron and clay, correct? Man, that's amazing. And he said, but it seemed like there was more. He said, you watched in your dream till a rock was hewn out of a mountain without hands, and that rock struck the image at the feet, and the whole image collapsed to the ground, and the image was gone, and the rock replaced the image, and the rock began to grow, and it grew until it wasn't just a rock. It grew until it became a mountain, and that mountain filled the whole earth with the glory of God. And Nebuchadnezzar said, man, that's amazing. And Daniel said, well, you need to take heed to it because your kingdom is going to be replaced by another kingdom. Your kingdom was represented by the gold in the dream. But there's another kingdom represented by silver that's coming, and that will replace your kingdom. And then a kingdom represented by the brass will replace that one, and a kingdom represented by the iron will replace that one, and a kingdom represented by the iron and clay will replace that one. And every one of them are going to come down when the rock of all ages strikes the feet of that image in your dream. Your kingdom's coming down, their kingdom's coming down, that kingdom's coming down, this kingdom's coming down, every kingdom's coming down. And I'm going to tell somebody, that's why you and I need to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, because every kingdom of this world is going to come crashing down, and you see it teetering right now. You look out into the landscape of the news world and you see there's a lot of teetering and shifting and shaking going on. Well, I hate to ruin the end of the story for you, but I'll just go ahead and tell you, everything that can be shaken shall be shaken. And the only thing that's going to stand the test of time is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And you've got to be baptized in it. You've got to be buried in it. Except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Praise God. That's why we will tell you unequivocally to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And I've got good news for you. The promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Woo! We've got a reason to praise His name. Hallelujah. I don't know. I don't know if you've ever been to a Pentecostal service before, but this is why we clap our hands, and this is why we shout with joy, and this is why we do get emotional when we think of the goodness of Jesus, because there is a promise that we can be in a kingdom that will last forever, and we can escape the kingdoms that will come crashing down. And so they said, that's what happened with this guy Daniel and your father Nebuchadnezzar. He told him the dream. He told him the interpretation. This man, this is what they said. They said he has an excellent spirit. And they said he is a revealer of secrets and a dissolver of doubts. And Daniel comes walking in with a resume. He's a dissolver of doubts. And he looks up at that word that he's got to translate, that statement. Nobody knows the language. He says, Belshazzar, this is what the hand wrote. He said, yeah. He said, I know what it says. It says, meni, meni, tekel, upharsin. And this is what it means. You have been weighed in the balances, and you are found wanting. And this night, your kingdom is going to come down. This is the moment that the gold bleeds into the silver and your kingdom is replaced. And when he said this, the Bible says that Belshazzar, his thoughts troubled him, his countenance changed, and his knees began to smite one another. He got weak in the knees when he heard this foreboding judgment of God pronounced upon his kingdom. And that same night, Darius and the Medes and the Persians came in and removed Belshazzar, took over his kingdom, and the wheels of prophecy began to roll into motion. Got to have those vessels, he said. Bring me those vessels, those sacred vessels from the temple of Israel's God. These Hebrew captives that we just effortlessly took as our own, and they worship this God. But go ahead and get their vessels and we'll show them what kind of God they have. And he starts filling those vessels with the wine of Babylon, and he's drinking himself drunk, and he's worshiping, sloshing and toasting and worshiping the gods of gold and silver and brass and iron and wood and stone. And those vessels, ladies and gentlemen, those weren't just any old vessels. Those vessels had been prepared by the man after God's own heart. This man who had in trouble prepared those vessels. It was in David's heart to prepare an house for the Lord. And he said, Lord, how can I dwell in this beautiful home while you don't have anything but an Old Testament tabernacle to dwell in? It wasn't even God's idea. It was David's idea. David couldn't live with himself when he was living like a king, but the Lord of glory was kept under the wraps of badger skins and all of these rudimentary materials. And he said, it is in my heart to build a temple for the Lord. And the Lord said, David, I appreciate the thought, but I'm not going to let you build me a temple, because your role and your assignment on this earth was to wage war against the enemies of the people of God. and your blood has your hands have blood on them from those wars. And ladies and gentlemen, there are some things that may be in our heart to do for God, but we're feeling it for a different generation. It may be in your heart. You don't listen. If you give yourself to the work of God and to the kingdom of God, and you don't accomplish everything you set out to do, you do not need to feel like a failure. You need to do like David did and say, hey, I wanted to build God a house. It was my desire to build God a house, but I couldn't build God a house because my assignment was to win the battles that would bring peace to Israel. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to prepare abundantly before I die that a generation following me will have all the materials and resources they need to build a house for the Lord. He had 100,000 talents of gold. He had 1,000 talents of silver. The brass and the iron were without weight. They don't even know how much the brass and the iron weighed that David was able to gather, but he gathered it everywhere he could. He won battles and gathered gold and silver and brass and iron, and he did everything that he could. They estimate that Solomon's temple, after calculating what it cost then and estimating what it would cost today, they calculate that it was close to $56 billion in today's dollars that went into that temple. And David was saying way back, I'm going to prepare now for another generation to step into what the Lord would have for them. That was his heart. That was his desire. That was his life. And he wanted it. In fact, everything he wanted had to do with the house of the Lord. He said this in one psalm. He said, one thing have I desired of the Lord. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after. Well, my ears perk up when I hear this man talk about the one thing he desires, because this man was a capable man. This man was a skilled man. This man was a warrior. So I'm wondering, what is his one desire? Is his one desire to be the best king it could possibly be? Is his desire to be the best harpist he could possibly be? Is his desire to be richer than any other king on the planet? None of those were his desires. He said, there's one thing that I have desired, and it's that I will seek after, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in his temple all the days of my life. That's my one desire. And I want you to know, ladies and gentlemen, if you'll make the house of God your one desire, his presence your one desire, his work your one desire, God will give you power over every lion. He'll give you power over every bear. He'll give you power over every giant. He'll give you power over the Philistines. He'll give you power over every enemy and adversary. The difference between King David and King Nebuchadnezzar and King Belshazzar was how they treated the gold and the silver. When David gathered gold and silver, he said, it's going into the temple of the Lord. I will take what has been trouble. He said, in my trouble, in my battles, in my wars, in my engagement with the adversary, one battle after another, one wicked king after another would rise up against him, one betrayal after another he would have to deal with. Even his own mistakes he had to overcome and move past them and beyond them. But he said, it was in my trouble that I prepared in abundance the treasures for the house of the Lord. That's what he did. He said, that's where treasure belongs. It belongs in the things of God. It belongs in the house of the Lord. That's not how Belshazzar thought of him. Belshazzar thought, you're supposed to worship treasure. You're supposed to worship the gods of gold and silver and brass and iron. This is what this world thinks. This world believes you ought to worship money. They will give their whole life to it. They will sacrifice their family upon the altar of career. They will sacrifice marriage upon the altar of getting ahead. They will sacrifice a lot of precious treasures just so that they can have this, that the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. In fact, in our series, The Blessed Life, we're learning about mammon, that mammon is not just a simple reference to money, but mammon is actually the name of a Babylonian god, the god of riches. And this god of riches is a god they would worship and they would serve, and his name was mammon. So when Jesus came onto the scene and said, you cannot serve two masters, you will either hate the one and love the other. You cannot divide your loyalties. You can't serve God and mammon at the same time. And what he was saying was, you can't worship that Babylonian god of riches and worship the one true living God of Israel at the same time. I want you to know that when Belshazzar in Babylon was worshiping the gods of gold and silver and brass and iron and wood and stone, mammon would have been in that mix. And he worshiped mammon instead of God. But I want you to know that's not how David believed. David had more in abundance than any of them in his day. He was a gatherer of riches. He was able to bring things into his storehouse that others weren't able to bring into their storehouse. But he knew where it belonged. He said, you've got to put it in the kingdom of God. You've got to put it into the house of the Lord. You've got to put it in the temple of God. And when you put riches into the hands of God, it's not trouble, it's treasure. Blessing, blessing, blessing. You know, I will tell you today that when you give unto the Lord, he will bless you. And that's not why we give. I'm gonna say it again. When you give unto the Lord, he will bless you. He'll bless you to overflowing. It'll be multiplied unto you like the loaves and the fishes put in the hands of Jesus. When Jesus got done with those loaves and fishes, they could feed thousands of people. That's what happens when you put your riches into the hands of God. God multiplies them to the blessing and to the edification of thousands of people. That's the truth. And yet, the blessing of God that comes to us, it isn't even the reason we give. We give because we love him. We give because he's everything to us. We give because we want his house to be exceeding magnificent. We give because we want the world to be saved. We give because we want the lost to be found. We give because he is the center of our worship. We don't worship the gods of gold and silver and brass and iron and wood and stone. I know that there's a prevailing mentality in our world today. Ah, preachers, they're going to ask you for your money. Churches just want your money. And you got to understand something, ladies and gentlemen. You got it all wrong. If that's your spirit and mindset, keep your money. I don't want that kind of money. If that's the way you feel about it, you just wait till the Lord reconciles that. Just keep that. The Lord loves a cheerful giver. We want somebody who puts some faith on that money. We want some Holy Ghost anointed prayer to be upon that money. No. See, we don't worship the gods of gold, silver, brass, iron, wood, and stone. We worship the Lord God. If you don't want to get involved with the blessing, understand he'll send a blessing another direction. But the church is going to be blessed, and I'm going to be a part of it. I'm going to be a part of it. Oh, hallelujah. We don't do like the world does and worship gold, silver, brass, iron, wood, and stone. And we don't do like the world does in the case of Nebuchadnezzar. Gold and silver, brass and iron, that's what built their kingdoms. We're not building a kingdom of man. We're not building some kind of a monstrosity of a religious structure. We're not trying to build some kind of an institution that is man-made. No, we want to take our bread and cast it upon the waters and say, Lord, take this bread over the oceans. Take this bread and put it into the airways. Take this bread and put it into the hands of the hungry. Take this bread and feed those who are without food and give water to those that are thirsty. Reach into the prisons where we can't physically go and bring the gospel to the people who are suffering in those places. No, no, no. We don't want to build man's kingdom. There's only one name in this house that is exalted, and it's the name that is above every name. That name is Jesus Christ. And at that name, every knee shall bow. And at that name, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Hallelujah. The success of Tree of Life Church isn't about the success of people and their personalities. It is about the blessing of the Lord upon the people that he has called. Hallelujah. And I'm going to tell you, there are people in this city right now, right as we're having service today. I've told you this before. I'm going to tell you again. There are people right now in this city that we haven't even met yet. But when we give unto the Lord, it's going to enable the gospel to reach those people. Some of the greatest Sunday school teachers that the Tree of Life Church will ever know haven't even heard of the Tree of Life Church yet. Some of the greatest preachers and preachers of messages that will bless your spirit, those people, some of them haven't even repented of their sins or been baptized in Jesus' name or filled with the Holy Ghost yet. Some of them are intoxicated last night and are hungover this morning, but God has chosen them. God has him singled out. We've got to reach them. We've got to reach them. Ah, woo, hallelujah. I feel a Holy Ghost anointing upon the people of God today. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. We're not trying to be a mega church. We're not trying to be the best church. We're not competing with other churches. It's not about building the kingdoms of man. It's not about being the gold head or the shoulders of silver. No, forget all of that. We want the rock. We want the rock of ages. We want water from the rock. We want fire from the rock. There's honey in the rock for our city and for our world. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost. My good friend, Pastor Michael Enzi, Heath, Ohio, told me a testimony. I said, can I share that with Tree of Life? He said, please do. And I said, well, he said, I'm going to share it with my church tomorrow morning. That was a week ago, so they know about it. Now I can tell you all about it. I said, all right, I'll give you a week, and then I got to share it. But he's in the middle of a building program trying to raise the money to build a new building. It's going to be a beautiful building, and we're praying for them in Jesus' name. That beautiful church in Heath, Ohio, God bless them in the name of the Lord. And they're trying to raise the funds. They're where we were a few years ago, and we've been down that road, and we know the Lord's going to take them all the way through to the completion of their project. But it inevitably happens that when you're in those kinds of projects, you know, just because you're in a project doesn't mean that needs cease to exist around you. And it's a test of our faith. And so Pastor Enzi had a need of a friend that was planting a church in Texas. Man of God that went down there and trying to get a church off the ground. And they were struggling down there to get the funds they needed. And Pastor Enzi found out about it. And he said, the Holy Ghost moved on him and said, send him a $5,000 check. And he thought, well, I will, you know, but you know, we kind of need every little bit we can muster here for our building program. But I'm thankful to God he had faith. He said, you know what? I'm just gonna give him the $5,000. Do we need it? Yes. But we're gonna invest in the work God has called them to do. And he gave them a $5,000 check, and to God be the glory, and went on his way. 2 days later, a pastor that he knows, but they're not like the you know, not always getting together, just called him out of the blue. And said, listen, he's not even the same organization, but he said, listen, he said, I've been watching what you're doing, and he said, I feel compelled to invest in what the Lord is doing in Heath, Ohio. And he said, I have a check for you, and he put the check in his hand, and the check was for $50,000. It dawned on me. It dawned on me that Brother Enzi didn't even know it, but what he was putting in the plate, felt like a lot in that moment, but it was just 10% of what was going to come back from it. And I feel the Holy Ghost so strong to tell somebody today that what God is going to move upon you to give is just a fraction of the blessing that's coming your way. Let me tell you something. Resist the temptation to build a golden head, silver shoulders, brass belly, iron legs, and iron of clay feet. Resist the temptation. It might look beautiful, but it's coming down. Do like David. Do like David and say, Lord, here it is. Here it is. Here it is. Take all of me. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and it's that I will seek after. And the blessings of God will multiply into you and into your children when you put the Lord first. That's what you do with gold and silver. You give it to God. You don't make it a God. You give it to God. Hallelujah. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. There was a man of God who had the Lord had given, blessed him, and he had a good bit of means when he passed away. And somebody said of him, they said, you know, he gave more to missions than anybody I know. And they said, and he was well off when he passed away. They said, imagine how well off he'd been if he hadn't given so much to missions. I said, brother, I think you got it backwards. I think you may have got the old cart in front of the horse on that one, because that's why he was well off, because he would, my God, he would put it in the hands of the Lord. And God said, I can trust this person as a vessel for my work and my kingdom to be advanced. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God's getting ready to do something great in this house. Brother Aaron Williams, could you join me? I want Brother Aaron Williams to share with you a testimony. We love Brother Aaron Williams. Hallelujah. How many got your white hanky here today? How many got your white hanky here today? Hallelujah. The Lord moved upon Brother Aaron Williams during the Ready Now campaign, and the Lord blessed him, and he blessed the Ready Now campaign. I want him to share his testimony with you today. Love you, brother. Love you.
July 9th, 2017, we had our daughter. She was 3 months early. And she was in the hospital for 3 months. And God did many miracles during that time. Well, when we got home from that time, I started to get bills from the doctors for everything that all the tests she had done, all the things that they had done. And quite honestly, Pastor, we didn't have any money. Because during that time, we were in the hospital for 3 months. Neither one of us worked very much at all. And in my desk in my office, I started just stacking the bills up. And in that fall, I took Pastor over to Indiana for a message he was going to preach. And IBC Choir was there, and they began to sing, I've seen you move. I've seen you move mountains, and I believe you can do it again. And I was sitting on the front row, and I just looked up to the Lord, and I said, God, I've seen you move mountains, but I've never seen a mountain like this. And I felt the still, small voice of God say, tell the mountain to move. We hadn't even started our capital campaign yet. We hadn't even started our capital campaign yet. And I just began to tell the mountain to move. Get out of my way. When we started talking about the capital campaign, they said, we're gonna ask you to give an amount. We're gonna ask you to put on there some things you can sacrifice. We're gonna ask you to put some things on there that you can give monthly out of your extra. We're gonna ask you to put these things on there. Just like we have it for us today, we have monthly offerings and a one-time offering and all these different things. And I talked to my wife and I said, babe, I want us to pray that God gives us a number that over 36 months we could never give. And a few weeks later, when we left the service at the Oasis, I'll never forget it. We were passing over Loveland on 275, and I looked over at my wife, and I said, has God given you a number? And I was nervous because even though I asked her to pray for a number God never gave us, God gave me two numbers. And I was praying that she was going to say the lower number. And she kind of looked over at me, and she said, well, I think God might have given me two numbers. And I said, babe, the first number is this. And if I produce a certain amount of volume at my work, that's my annual bonus, and we're going to give it all. And the second number was five times that number. And so we were there at the service, and we were getting ready to fill out our card. And I stopped, and I looked at her, and I said, babe, we got to rethink this, because they've told us they're going to tally all these up, and they're going to decide how big of a building we can build based on what we're able to give. And there's really no way. I can't. If we sold everything we have, we can't give the number that we're about to write down. And she... My wife grabbed my arm and she said, God gave us that number. Put it down. And we gave that number on the card. And for months, the first offering came, we didn't give one penny. Every penny I had, I took that mountain of debt on my desk. It was literally this thick of bills. And whichever one was pink and whichever one was yellow, I would take everything and I would pay it to that. Months went by, 3, 4, 5, 6 months went by. By the time I got my annual bonus, I achieved the goal, and they gave me my annual bonus, and we wrote the check and we gave it all to the commitment. Once that happened, we just gave and we gave and we gave. A few months later, we got a letter in the mail from Tom Rockland, and it said, you've completed your ready now commitment. It wasn't even halfway through the 36 months. Later that week, we were coming to church, and on the way to church, I just kept hearing the Lord tell me, do it again. Do it again. And I was saying, God, what do you mean, do it again? What do I need to do again? What are you telling me to do again? And Brother Mitchell from Indiana was at our church that day, and he got up and he started talking about all the testimonies of all the people that had been given at his church. And at the end of it, he said, oh, and one more. He said, there was a guy that gave $100,000 to our church project. He said, and he looked over at his wife, and he was a financial broker, and he was putting money in stocks and things. And he looked at his wife and he said, all that money we gave has already grown back into our account. He said, no matter what I could have done, I could have never grown our account that fast. And he said, as he was telling his wife that, his wife, he felt God say, now give it to me again. And as I was sitting in that service, I was like, oh God, you're telling me to do it again. I can't do it again. We barely made it the first time. And before the 36 months was up, that original small number that God gave us, we gave 10 times that amount in that 36 months. I've been begging, Pastor. I've been asking, Pastor, give me another chance to give. Give me another opportunity. Hey, but not only that, Pastor, not only that. We learned on Wednesday about real riches. Yeah. Ashley, Marissa, Kaylee, stand up. Two of my sisters and one of my sister's cousins that I would hear my wife praying, God, touch their lives. They're in a broken state. They don't know you. They don't know you. But you know what we did? We gave of the riches of this world, and God gave us true riches. God gave us true riches. You can't outgive him, church. You can't outgive him. You can't outgive him. Tell the mountain to move. Move, mountain. Move, mountain.
In the name of Jesus. Somebody receive it right now. Receive it right now. There are some real riches coming in. I want somebody to lift your hands right now and say, Lord, I believe the word that just came into my spirit. There are some real riches that are coming your way. The real and the true riches of God. Things this world cannot produce. God's getting ready to release something into this house. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Come on, that's it. Lift those hands unto the Lord. Lift those hands unto the Lord. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Brother Brian Duvall is getting ready to come, and he's going to lead us into how we're going to produce our personal commitment cards. But I want you to know that there's getting ready to be some numbers. Just as Brother Aaron Williams described, there are going to be some numbers that are going to come into your spirit.
And some of them are going to be scary numbers. But I want you just to, even right now, feeling the Holy Ghost, even right now, there are some numbers that are entering your mind. They're entering your spirit. And the first thought, your flesh starts, your spirit says yes, but your flesh says, I think I need to get out of this moment and make the decision. And I understand that. I understand that. But I want you to just go ahead and let faith rise right now. And lift up your hands unto the Lord in this house. We're getting ready to walk through the personal commitment cards. But I want you to lift up your hands right now in the presence of the Lord. And begin to say, Lord God, speak to me right now. Speak to me right now. Speak to me right now in the name of Jesus. Speak to me right now in the name of Jesus. Speak to me right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I remember in the Ready Now campaign when Sister Heidi and I were making our commitment, we were making a miracle offering commitment. And as we were getting ready to do it, I felt the Lord tell me something that scared me. It frightened me. And I said, this is what the Lord told me. He said, he gave me the number and then followed up with, to do that, you're going to have to sell your house. And I, wasn't expecting that. And I said, man, whoa. I mean, I've heard of the old pioneers that used to live in the Sunday school classrooms. And I thought, well, we got a nice Sunday school classroom that we can live in for a little while. And I said, oh, Lord, what in the world? So I said to my wife, I said, this is the number I feel in my spirit. And she said, I concur with that. And you got to understand, my wife's a missionary's daughter. I've watched her empty her whole purse out on the altar before. She's not afraid of giving. And that made me more afraid because I was, you know, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be. I was one witness, but I was hoping I couldn't find the second witness. And so I said, I'm feeling, though, that the only way we can do that is if we sell our home. And she said, well, that's what we got to do. That's what we got to do. And I said, oh, man, okay, in Jesus' name. And then we started giving, and we started making a dent in our commitment, and we gave through the months, and we're coming into that the last year of the giving, and COVID hit. COVID hit. And when COVID hit, something happened. I my whole schedule shut down, and I was home. That hadn't happened since I was 15 years old. I was home for an extended period of time, and it turned out to be the only time we could actually sell our home, because before we just didn't have time to do it. And so we just started thinking, okay, we got to sell our home. And I thought, well, the Lord said we have to sell our home, so maybe we could just sell our home. And when we went to sell our home, you know how it is, how it happened during COVID. The prices of real estate started going up. Our realtor came back to us three times, increasing the asking price before we put it on the market, saying, no, it's gone up again. The value of your home is just going up and up. And by the time we sold our home, we were able to finish our commitment and have a little blessing left over. And this is what the Lord said to me when it happened. He said, I told you, you're going to have to sell your house. I thought it meant we live in a Sunday school classroom. I thought it was going to be a great sacrifice, but it turned out to be a great blessing. And I want you to know that what feels in this moment like what will be a great sacrifice, Hitaboshaya, it's going to be a great blessing. That's what it's going to be. Hallelujah. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Brother Brian Duvall, we want our leadership pastor, Brother Brian Duvall, to come right now, and he's going to lead us through the act of filling out our personal commitment cards. Brother Duvall, let's receive him with a great hand of appreciation. Bless you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The scripture says the testimony of the Lord makes wise the simple. And you've just received wisdom. And I know you said, did you just call me simple? Well, we all are. But I'm telling you that when I hear the testimonies of the Lord, my faith is encouraged. Amen. 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 Let me testify just briefly before we get into our commitment card. I'm coming hot from Roots. And we were teaching, Pastor, our first through fifth graders today. Second through fifth. Check that. And today we're doing Jesus is our H in the Jesus is A to Z curriculum. He's the head. Hallelujah. He's our healer. Hallelujah. He's our helper. He's our high priest. He's the Holy One. And he is our hope. He is our hope. He is the reason that we look to the future with confidence, because our hope is in him. Praise the name of Jesus. And why would I bring up what's going on in children's ministry? Because this is a reflection on a small micro level of what is happening at the Tree of Life Church. We have come through campaigns, multiple campaigns that were very specific, where we articulated a very specific need, a very specific number, and the Lord provided and he moved upon our hearts. But we are transitioning now. God has brought us to this place, this land of blessing. I'm going to say it again, this place of blessing. Look around you. Do you remember when this building was just a dream? Amen. Could we give the Lord a hand clap of praise and thank him? Amen. And so now there is a multiplicity of ministries that are happening. There is need that is abundant. It's not about an itemized list anymore, but it's about international, and it's about local, and it's about funding initiatives and being able to pivot and do what the Lord would call us to do and be his hands and feet in the earth. And so when you think about this campaign for 2024, I want you to think about it in terms of vision. I'm giving to something that's greater than I can even articulate in one or two or three line items. But it is the kingdom. It is the kingdom. It is the kingdom. And so today, as we prepare our hearts to commit, I want to just walk you through some very practical instructions. And we want to make plain what is transpiring. We are entering a season of giving from April through December of this year. It's a 9-month season of giving. Everyone say 9 months. This is what we're asking for you to partner with the Tree of Life Church in, is to give over a 9-month season of giving for 24. Our hearts are prepared. We've participated in 24 for 24. Those of you that have been listening and attending the Blessed Life series, I know the links are going out via Community Church Builder. You have been blessed. God is imparting incredible understanding, and I know that you've been edified and that your faith has increased. So next week, we are giving a first fruit offering. This is to say that, Lord, as we enter this season of commitment and of giving, we're coming to you with first fruits. And Brother Morris has talked to us about the power of first in our series. I'd encourage you to go back and listen to it if you were unable to be here last Wednesday or unable to listen. So the first fruits offering, if you'll notice from a calendar, that precedes our season of commitment. The season of commitment is April through December, 9 months of giving. So on your card, if you have your card, just wave it. Let me make sure you got it. I see them all over. That's a blessing. You'll notice there's two cards. The first one does not have your name and address and all of that good detail on it. That's the one we're going to ask you to fill out for the church, the one with your personal details. The one that does not have those personal details, that's yours. That's your personal record. We want you to keep that. We want you to put it in your Bible. We want you to keep it in your closet of prayer and continue to trust and believe God through this season of giving. You'll notice the three boxes or blanks that are there on the card for you to complete. And I've got an incredible visual behind me, much better than the one in my hand. Thank you, media team. The first box says one-time offering. Let me explain what we mean when we say one-time offering. We are talking about an offering that you can see and can purpose in your heart to make over the next 9 months in our April to December giving season. It may come in one, two, or three different offerings. But what do I mean when I say something you can see? Maybe it's a bonus at work. We're in the throes of tax season, and those of you that are faithful givers probably have a refund that you're going to experience. So it could be associated with a tax refund. It could be a change in position that you're embarking on. But whatever the case is, this is an amount that you are putting in there that says over the 9-month commitment period, I believe that I can give a one-time amount, and it may come in different forms. It may come in December. It may come two or three times over that 9 months of X dollars. So whatever that amount is, that's what you're going to put there. The second box, as it indicates,
is a monthly offering. This is an offering that you will give 9 times from April through December in 2024 by faith unto the Lord. For those of you that have been praying with us, we are praying the prophet's prayer. Lord, show me that great and mighty thing that I know not. Show me that great and mighty thing that I know not. What do I mean when I pray that? I'm praying, Lord, show me how to give. Show me the way that you would use me to propel your ministry forward in the local assembly and through the local body. In the name of Jesus Christ. So this monthly offering, we would ask you to go ahead and write the amount times 9. So if you need to get your phone out and you want to put in there X hundred of dollars times 9, then you would put the subtotal in that monthly offering. This final box, this is my favorite box on this card, if I can just confess it to you. I'm trying to stay on point, Pastor, but I really want to share. When we went through Ready Now, this is a quick detour and I'll make it quick. The number that the Lord put on my heart was impossible. It just confounded logic. And I talked to my wife and we were in agreement that we both had no idea how that was possible. But the number, I was like, it's too round. It's too generic. It's too big. It's too lots of things. And I remember going into that leadership commitment dinner and an elder that is no longer with us, he walked up to me. And he shook my hand and he looked me in the eye with intention that I don't think I had ever received from him before. And do you know that he said, I believe, and he went on to pull together a sentence that I'm not going to repeat. And he named the specific amount that God had put in my heart to give. And I smiled courteously and shook his hand and I stepped back and looked for the closest exit, and I busted through that door and exploded into tears. I said, God, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for showing me I can trust you. Thank you for the affirmation. My wife happened to come out of the hallway right at that moment, and we were Palm Springs, y'all. We were sweating over this commitment, and I want you to know that she said, what's wrong? What's wrong? And I said, baby, I just received an absolute word from God. He confirmed it to me. It's going to be okay. And we gave. We gave with full hearts. The fear wasn't entirely gone. But I want to stand before you and tell you that 13 months into a 36-month commitment, God put it in our hands and we were able to fulfill the commitment. And I wish you would help me give him praise. Hallelujah. It was a miracle. It was a miracle. Hallelujah. So the miracle offering is just that. This is a faith promise. For those of you that aren't familiar with that term, this is what it means. I don't know where it's coming from. I may not even have confidence that it is coming, but I'm going to commit that if God puts this in my hand, if he blesses me in an unforeseen way, then I'm going to give it directly to the kingdom. And it's a test. It's a fleece before God. So that's why that miracle offering is so special to me. This is a faith promise category of our commitment card. In Jesus' name. So what we would say this morning, and our musicians are here, they're going to begin to play and to sing. This is a sovereign moment, a sober moment. As we complete these cards, I want to give you this instruction. If you have heard from the Lord, don't waver. Complete and give. And the way we're going to give functionally is we're going to come and just lay those cards face down on the altar. This morning, if you are still seeking the Lord, if you heard my story of God affirming his word to me and you said, man, I wish I could get that, and you're still trying to figure out exactly how the Lord wants to use you over these next 9 months, then you can bring this card and you can put it in the offering as part of our first fruits ceremonies next week. So we can give you that time and space to continue to seek the Lord. But I would encourage you, if you've heard from the Lord, act. Don't delay and don't doubt. He's put it in your hands. He's put it in your spirit to give, and he will bless it in the mighty name of Jesus. Could we stand all across the assembly? Could we stand? with the instructions that you've received, we're going to ask you to go ahead and complete your commitment cards as you see fit at this time. Brother Scott, do we have a song? Okay. We do have a song prepared. And as you come to give today, I want to encourage you in this wise. Don't feel rushed when you lay that offering at the altar. Raise your hands. Thank the Lord. Bless Him. Take time to tarry in His presence. And let the fullness of promise that is tied to a heart that gives unselfishly and full of generosity with great hope and by faith, let the fullness of His promise wash over you this morning. In the name of Jesus, as we begin to sing, we're going to release you to give. If you would, just before our praise singers sing, if you would join with me, I want to say a prayer. Lord, these are your people, the ones that you love, God. You have proven yourself to us time and time again, and we are humbled by your blessing, God. The inventory of your blessing in our lives is rich and it is full, Lord. The testimonies that just this room alone holds are testimonies of provision and of blessing and of bounty. And I pray, God, that you would give us confidence in this moment, confidence in your word, confidence in your promise. And I pray, Lord, that you would show us that great and mighty thing that we know not. Lord, where you desire to take TLC, where you desire to bless us, Lord, the facets and the dimensions of ministry that are only vision today, Lord, I know that you desire to bring them to reality for the furtherance of the gospel. I pray, Lord, your blessing be upon every home, upon every marriage, upon every individual, God, under the sound of my voice. I pray your blessing upon the collective. And I pray in the name of Jesus that you, Lord, would give us authority and power right now to see fear utterly cast out of this place, to see doubt utterly cast out of this house. Lord, we give with faith. We give with hope. We give in anticipation of the moving of your mighty hand in our lives and in our circumstance. And we entrust you, Lord, with what is already yours, God, the blessing that you have bestowed upon us. We give you glory in Jesus' name. Let's give unto the Lord as we worship.
Sing it while you come. Come on, let's sing it while you come. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you.
I trust in God, my Savior, who will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God, my Savior.
sing it as a congregation, as a declaration unto the Lord right now, all across this house. I trust in God, my Savior, who will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God,
my Savior,
the one
who will never fail.
Who will never fail? Who will never fail? Who will never fail? Oh, I feel the blessing of the Lord in this house. Would you just extend your hands right now to the front of this house right now in the name of Jesus? The Lord is in this house. This represents sacrifice. This represents devotion and consecration. And the Lord looks upon it. He sees it. I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered.